Peter?
My name is Peter Tabor. I'm a resident of Searsport. First of all, I'd like to address a question to the chairman regarding protocol, procedure, and that has to do with, would we be meeting here tonight if the selectmen had not already approved a scrapyard license?
I think I answered that initially. Yes, we would.
We would.
Because in the land use ordinance in the industrial district, a permitted use in there is a junkyard. And the definition of a junkyard includes piles of recycled metal on the storage. And the junkyard is subject to planning board review in the land use ordinance. So we have two things we're covering, the land use ordinance and the site plan review.
But there's no necessary order for those two approvals to take place. Is that right? Do I understand you right?
They're separate, yes.
They're separate, but one doesn't have to precede the other.
Kind of the chicken and the egg. We scheduled this one. One of the things was up there at the last meeting we had, planning board meeting. We had an application from Grimmel Industries, and we said it would be discussed at this meeting. It would be on the agenda for this meeting.
Right.
And that was separate from the.
So as long
that's separate from the planning from the selectmen.
I understand they're separate, but in any case, had a junkyard license not been delivered by the selectmen, you could still proceed.
We had their application in here. We would probably proceed with it. That when it would come down to the thing, do you have all your other necessary permits and so forth? That would be a negative. And I don't know how the board would decide on it.
So let me get that straight. Had there not been a junkyard license approved, you could still proceed with tonight?
We could still proceed with it if the planning board wished to.
Okay.
I asked the initial question, is their application complete? Do you wish to proceed
okay,
with
I
it
I just
tonight?
Wanted to make that clear because I was present at the January 7th selectmen's meeting, and I heard Mr. Garrity, in response to a question, say, oh, about 10 truckloads a day. And I see that he's amended that by 400 or 500%, which is correct, because, in fact, a typical ship load will take about 1,500 truckloads, and you don't divide 30, say there's one going out every month, you divide 30 into that, that's 50. And you think about what 50 truckloads a day is all about in a town this size running along Route 1. In any case, I think it's very important, and while we're on the subject of dishonesties, Mr. Garrity also, in response to a question, suggested that there has been no problem in the past with air and water pollution. And this is the gist of my remarks. I'm totally, in the interest of not going too far afield and being too lengthy, I've totally skipped the various egregious violations of pollution laws at Grimmel's other yards just here in Maine, at Topsom and in Lewiston and in over by Messalonsky High School in whatever town that is. And they are quite considerable, just judging from the EPA repeated requests for information, questions why we didn't get a report for this month or that month, photographs that EPA inspectors make those places showing sheds with, you know, rusted out roofs with water dripping in on open tanks of various kinds of mysterious petroleum products. So, more to the point, I think we really should pay attention to looking at Portsmouth. Mr. Garrity said that the operation that he's proposing for Searsport Port is identical to the one in Portsmouth. It's the same thing. And you look back into the record and you'll see that Grimmel Industries had a very similar operation in Portland before they came to Portsmouth. And the time came when Portland decided that having open piles of ferrous metals waiting to be dropped into the hulls of ships was an eyesore, but more importantly, it was a water quality and air quality issue, very, very definitely. And the time came when Grimmel Industries was essentially sent on their way. So they moved to Portsmouth in 2002, and they were there until December 31st of this past year. If you look at the record in Portsmouth, just Portsmouth, it's quite a record, and it starts out with some concern on the part of local officials that build over time, activists going after the EPA to, for God's sakes, what are you going to do about it? It took 9 years for the EPA. The EPA, some people who believe that, you know, we live in a nanny state with all kinds of nosy government agencies making it hard for business people to operate. It certainly wasn't the case in Portsmouth with respect to the EPA. It took quite a while. It took activists culminating with the Conservation Law Foundation to get the EPA moving on this. Nonetheless, the EPA in 2011 did. And they proposed levying something like somewhat over $500,000 in fines. I'd just like to just run over the record in Portsmouth as briefly and as quickly as I can. Now, this is only newspaper records over a 12-year period, but you do see a certain pattern.
Peter,
yeah?
Can I interrupt a moment? We were given a copy with a lot of stuff tonight, and we were also given one on Friday that cited stuff in the record, and I think three or four of us have read that one already.
You've read what one?
The one that was hand-delivered on Friday afternoon with EPA stuff from Portsmouth, New Hampshire DEP, or their equivalent, and the Maine DEP on other sites. I'd like to try and, without citing all of these things, we'd have an opportunity to look at them again or look at this material and try and keep it concise so we can get,
you know,
somewhere
you
along, finish up tonight.
Yes, and
I think we finish up the public hearing tonight.
When we have important issues, we take the time we need to. We did that with a case with the propane tank.
We will, and I just tried to, rather than read all of the EPA things that went on.
I'm not suggesting reading all the EPA things. I'm just trying to, I would just like to get them into the record that they actually happened. In fact, Grimmel Industries was out of compliance on the Clean Water and probably Clean Air Act statutes and also the corresponding state statutes from the time they came in 2002 until they left. And it never let up. They caused an enormous amount of cost locally, and we watched the Pease Development Authority, which was the agency, which is a business booster agency trying to get development going. We watched them gradually over time shift. But I'll tell you that the city of Portsmouth, which was at first helpless about this, almost from the beginning, had great misgivings. And you had like the longtime town city manager, who's still there, complaining about this sort of thing. And as the liaison to the PDA, a voting member, he voted against, right from the beginning practically, voted against renewal of Grimmel's Grimmel's lease because of the egregious problems. We heard most, dust was a major, major complaint. And Grimmel dodged that for a long time. Eventually, they went to spraying the water on the rust. And as a result of that, by the way, the EPA levied a fine of $177,500 on them, subsequently negotiated down just on that one thing, because they were just spraying it and letting it go right into the harbor. And you've probably already been read out all the various contaminants that were going into that water, and nothing done to stop it. They talked about, well, they changed the port, the number of outfalls going into the harbor, this sort of thing. But even earlier this past year, when they were still going around with the company about correcting this, they had not significantly reduced the pollution. Now, you have a company that's 12 years in one spot, and it's still essentially committing the same crimes. And these are crimes against the United States and against the state of New Hampshire and indeed the state of Maine, because those are common waters across. It suggests that they operate in a cost of doing business way, and working with even a federal agency like the EPA, eventually they managed to knock their cost down from $525,000 to $125,000. I take that back. It was $225,000. But only $75,000 of that was fines, and then they agreed to spend $150,000 doing various good deeds remediation efforts. But that becomes a cost of doing business, apparently, from the way they behave. And, you know, since you don't want me to go into the details, what people said, I'll give it to you for the record. I've got three copies of this, and I'll get you more if you want. I think it is worth paying attention to the newspaper record, because it shows how a community reacts. I think if you ask most people in Portsmouth to this day, if it was a good idea to have Grimmel there, they would say no. If you had people from Portsmouth here in this room, and not necessarily even activists, people were just bothered by mysterious red dust that contained things like lead and aluminum, potential toxins, blowing all over the place. People listening to 20-ton loads of steel and iron fragments the size of softballs dumping out of it 40, 60 times a day. People, who, when the Coast Guard bark eagle came to visit, people embarrassed because there it had to moor right next to 40-foot piles of rusted metal, and every day the crew had to scrub down the decks and dig out little bits of metal turnings that had been tracked in by people on that. They had a horrendous record, and what I'd like to know is, how is anything possibly going to be different here? We hear all kinds of assurances. Oh, sure, we only have 10 trucks. Whatever it's convenient to say. This is sociopathic kind of behavior, and it suggests that nothing is going to be any different than in New Hampshire, and we're going to see that right here. And what are we going to do about it? It took Portsmouth, which is a pretty progressive community, whose city manager saw what a disaster this was from the beginning, whose city council by 2005 had voted unanimously to urge the the Pease Development Authority, please do not renew that lease. And even then, it took them 12 years to get rid of this company. I feel sometimes like Searsport is...
Let me just finish this one thing.
On the scale...
You believe it, and now you're starting to repeat yourself.
I'm sorry?
You're starting to repeat yourself now.
I'm just saying...
Would you please leave your copy with us? I said you're starting to repeat yourself.
I feel like we are being treated, or we treat ourselves, we have so little respect for who we are, we treat ourselves like a third world nation. And I'll leave it at that.
You want to leave copy?